Hi, I'm Coach Jeff Mercer, and we're here today to talk a little bit about catching, one of the most critical positions on the field, most certainly. And we're going to have the opportunity today to go through some of the things that I like to see done with regard to our catchers, both young and then more advanced individuals. I think there's a couple key points that we need to talk about and really drive home when thinking about a catcher before we get started. And that is the type of individual that you select to play that position or that may come to you. It's absolutely essential that we have somebody behind the plate that wants to be there, that it's obvious to the other eight players on the field that they want to be there, that are enthusiastic, that they aren't afraid to take a nick or a bump or a bruise, that they have that willingness to give everything they have at all times. And if you don't have that type of an individual, look until you can find somebody that does it. Now, you know and I know that we don't always have that person coming right to us. So if you don't have an individual like that, work hard to develop. Find them. Go anywhere you have to. Stay right with that person until such time as you've developed the skills and the enthusiasm level that you need behind the plate. But let's make sure that we find a person that's temperament and toughness and mental ability will allow us to get the things from a catcher that we need to get. I want to make sure that everybody understands that prior to throwing, even touching that baseball for the first time, that you go through an appropriate stretching program and get yourself loose and physically ready to go. When you reach the age that JD's reached, if you don't stretch your body and get the blood flowing through the muscles a little bit, you run the real risk of hurting yourself, sometimes on a permanent basis. So the thing that I ask all my players to do, regardless of the position they play, is to work your technique when you throw. That's your opportunity for a few minutes to get yourself loose and to get better on a daily basis, because that's one thing you're going to do every day before you practice or play. We receive the ball. We want to make sure that JD does just a couple things physically right to help himself receive the ball. When his partner's throwing to him, if the partner were throwing right to him, we want JD to spread his feet at least shoulder width apart. We want him to flex his knees a little bit, and we want the glove. Let me have your ball here. We want the glove to form and his arm, his right arm, to form a box. And we want the target that his partner's going to throw to be right in the middle of that box. And if it is, great. Then we move the hands together and we make the catch with two hands. If it's outside that box, JD's job now becomes to put that box in front of the ball. So if the ball comes here, he's got to slide and move to meet the ball. Okay? And that's just a little something you can take pride in. You don't have to do that. You can be lazy and stick your glove out and catch the ball, certainly, but that's not taking any pride in what you're doing, and it takes you longer to get rid of the ball that way as well. So we're defeating the purpose two different directions. Ball's above the waist. JD's going to slide those thumbs together, catch with two hands. If the ball happens to be below the waist, he's just going to put his pinkies together and catch the ball with two hands. A catcher especially, if the ball's down in the zone, he can drop and either go down and get it this way, or better yet, he can drop his knees and catch the ball right here. Catch it this way, right here, and then stand back up. It doesn't hurt him to do that. That's just like his receiving position when he's throwing to second base on a straight steal. So we can make sure that we get some flex in the knees and get that good target and take a little bit of pride in moving your feet and getting in front of the ball. Now, JD's going to square himself here, and we're going to work to a target. We're going to work to a partner. We always want to make sure that the hands come together in front of the chest. When they come together, in the catcher's technique, we want the elbows to go up. This is a little different than infield throws, outfield throws, or pitcher's throws. This guy has less time to operate with. Man goes from first to second. A good runner can get from first to second base in 3.7, 3.8 seconds. Major leaguers, 3.5 or less. That being the case, he doesn't have a lot of time. The goal for a high school player or college player is to get somewhere between 2 seconds and below. In that vicinity, he's got to get the ball out of his glove and it's got to travel second base and hit the shortstop's glove in 2 seconds or less. Doesn't give him much time. He can't take the hand out and drop it down and come back up. If he does, his man's gone, stolen second base. He doesn't have that time, so we have to make use of what time we do have. Elbows come up this way. He's going to split his hands, and he's going to get a nice arm whip right here. He'll transfer that glove back into his chest, and he'll get his good arm whip here. Okay, so again, elbows go up. He'll point his shoulder, his hip, and his knee right at his target, and he'll make the throw right there. So I think it's important that we at this time take a moment to go through how we give a sign, how we're going to receive a pitch with a man on base and without men on base, and go through what we like to look for with our catchers the first week of the season through the last week of our season. With regard to sign, we're going to take our glove, put it down below our left knee. That blocks the third base coach out of the picture. We're going to take our arm and lay it right in the crease of our leg. And when we do that, that'll put our wrist right about mid-thigh, and that'll give JD a high enough sign that we won't be below the legs. Consequently, the first base coach can see it. Okay, so we're just going to take our wrist and lay it right across the thigh, back in the crease, and then he'll give his sign. When JD gives his sign, you want to make sure that your knees are closed, pinched just a little bit so that we're not wide open, but yet wide enough for the pitcher to be able to see the signs, okay? And then from that point, you can give whatever sign system you like, whether it's pumps or numbers or whatever you like to use. Just make sure that your catcher's given an appropriate sign. It's something that someone can pick up, hopefully not the other team. Okay, then as we get in our receiving position, we're going to first take a look at receiving after he's given his sign. He'll reset his feet. This is with nobody on base. You can be a little more relaxed here. He can sit back on his haunches a little bit more. He's got his toes turned out a little bit. That's a comfortable position for JD. It's not critical that he's got to move to throw a runner out or something along those lines, so he can be a little more relaxed. We're going to give a nice target to the pitcher. Once the pitcher picks the target up and finds that JD's just going to relax his wrist a little bit, that'll allow him actually to be a little faster when the ball goes left or right or up or down. If we've got that hand locked in this position and open the entire time the pitcher is releasing the ball and it's traveling to the plate, he's actually slower trying to move to that pitch outside or inside. So we like for him to relax the wrist. We want his elbow outside the knee, and you might notice that JD's got his hand back behind his heel. We want to make sure that that stays protected at all times. So again, we give the nice target out in front. Got a little bend in the elbow there. And then once the pitcher releases the ball, he's going to relax, and then he'll go ahead into a receiving position. Good. Now, with man on base, that changes the picture a little bit. We're going to get our toes pointed a little more straight ahead. And when JD sets his feet, he's going to get up on his haunches, and you might notice that his legs are parallel to the ground. This is what some people would call a jockey position or a ready position to throw, whatever you like to call it. But he's going to be up in this spot. And then if the runner takes off, if we got a man on first and he's trying to steal second, boy, he's in great position to fire out. The one thing that you want to make sure with your catchers is that he doesn't come out too quick and take strikes away from your pitcher. We don't want to pop up too quick and take strikes away from your pitcher. Stay down, and if you're going to begin moving forward, you move forward low. Catch the ball, and then we're ready to go. So we give our sign. Good sign. Receiving position, no one on base. Relax the hand. Receive the pitch. Okay, sign. Resets his feet, covers his target. Man on base. Relax the hand. Receive the pitch. Bang. Your two receiving stances along with your signs. I want to talk a little bit about catchers gaining strikes for their pitchers. In other words, framing pitches and how we like to go about it. JD's going to work with me in terms of demonstrating the different techniques. But you need to be able to catch the outside of the ball. So to a right-handed hitter, an inside pitch, we'd want to catch the ball in this fashion. So the ball comes in and we're actually going to catch the outside of the ball. That allows JD's glove to stay in the strike zone, and that looks much more like a strike than if he were to catch the ball with the glove here. The pitch is in the exact same location, but the glove's in a different spot. On an outside pitch to a right-hand hitter, again, he's going to catch the outside of the ball. He'll turn the glove just a little bit. This portion of his glove will be in the strike zone. The ball in the same location with your glove turned this way looks like a ball, or can look like a ball based on how much your glove's hanging out of that strike zone. A pitch up in the strike zone, we're going to catch the top of the ball. So as the ball comes in, he's going to catch the top. The bulk of the glove will be in the strike zone. And on the low pitch, he's going to catch the bottom of the ball. So as the ball comes in, we're going to receive it this way. And if we do that, what we call framing the pitch, just like a picture frame. You're going to frame from the top down, the bottom up, and from the outside in. So we're going to frame the outside of each pitch. So let's take a look at how we work framing just very slowly as we begin to work our catchers. Okay, JD, you want to drop down? Okay, we want to work each location on the plate. I'll try my best to get pitches where we need them. Again, catching the outside of the ball. Outside of the ball on an outside pitch. A little too high to frame. If we don't have the opportunity to frame a pitch, there's no sense trying to create one. If the pitch is way out of the strike zone, let's don't frame it. There's a high pitch we'll catch down. And a low pitch we'll catch up. So we just walk our catchers through it. And again, every time you do this is one time closer to him doing it the exact way you want it in the game. See how he gets out around the ball, catches the outside of the ball. There's the high pitch and low pitch. I find that the young players absolutely love to be challenged. Whatever you can do to challenge them, they love it. And if it means working something an older player works, like this rapid fire drill, they'll eat it up and it'll keep their attention and keep them working toward becoming a great player. Okay, let's watch a rapid fire drill. This time he's going to drop the ball, hopefully right in front of him. Ready? Frame. Frame. Okay, not bad. Have the toughness necessary to play behind the plate. Well, I'll tell you what, when you start blocking pitches, you're going to find out in a hurry if you have that degree of toughness. When we work through blocking pitches, we first want to show what options are available to us. The thing you need to keep in mind, as the options are shown and you get comfortable doing one or the other, that you make sure that you work at them virtually on a daily basis. And if you don't, then you're not going to be able to block a pitch. You're going to take pitches away from your pitcher. You're going to give up runs. You're going to allow base runners to advance when they have no business advancing. You got to stick your nose in there and get the job done. You might notice we've got a couple bats laid out, and these are just used as props. Whenever we talk about blocking a pitch, we always want to make sure that when that pitch hits us, it comes back toward the middle of the diamond or back toward the plate. So rather than having our legs parallel to each of the back lines on the batter's box, we want our legs to be parallel to either one of these bats, depending on which side the ball comes on. If the ball goes straight down the middle, we'll drop down the middle. Let's take a look at blocking technique. Okay, from a normal position, normal receiving position, we're going to block a pitch right in front of us. What I'd like for you to do is just kick your feet out from underneath you, and we drop down. Now, you'll notice he's got his meat hand protected behind the glove. His shoulders are rounded. Ball's going to hit the chest and drop forward. He's got his chin tucked to his chest so that the ball can't come up and get him. He's in pretty good position there. All right, JD, back up. Let's drop and do the same one again. Drop. There. The key in blocking pitch is to make sure don't catch the ball. We're not interested in catching the ball. The instant you try to catch the ball, up comes your glove, ball goes right between the legs. Block the pitch. Cover the hole with the hands like JD has it right here. Block the hole here. Cover the meat hand, round the shoulders, tuck the chin. We're in great shape. He's done his job. Okay, back up. Now we're going to block a pitch to your left. We're going to try to get ourselves parallel to the baseball bat on this side of the diamond. And on this side of the batter's box, ready, drop. Okay, all right, back up. And let's walk through that technique. First option, we're gonna take the foot and slide it out this way, and we're gonna move to meet it with the rest of the body here. As we move to meet it, we'll put our body in position that's parallel to the bat so that when the ball hits the chest, it hits and comes back to the middle of the field. If JD goes parallel to the batter's box, slide around, do it the wrong way, goes parallel here, the ball hits and slides away. And then we end up with a runner advancing. Okay, back up. All right, let's try it to the right. On this one, we kick the right foot out, slide step, move to meet the ball. Ball hits the chest, drops back to the middle of the field. Notice how he's got himself set parallel to this bat, and that allows the ball to come back to the center of the field. Option two requires quick feet. This may be more along lines for a high school player. JD's a very advanced catcher for a high school player. College players, and you'll see some pro players do this too. This is almost a jump, one direction or the other. Both feet move at the same time, and it's a jump out. Now, on the second option, the ball that's in the dirt, we do exactly the same way as the first option. Kick the feet out, straight down, boom, right there, back up. Okay, here's the second option, ball right and ball left. Let's go ball left to begin with. Ready? Go. Notice how he just kicked both feet out and slid. He's in the exact same position he was in on the first option now that he's into the second one, yet he did it a little bit quicker. Okay, hop back up. Let's go to the left again. Ready? Go. See how he just hopped over with both feet. Back up. You gotta have a catcher that's got some pretty good quickness here. You're wasting your time. Okay, we're going to the right. Ready? Go. Boom. Back up. One more time. Ready? Go. Very nice. Good technique. He's got himself protected, and he's got the ball heading back the direction of the plate that we want it. If we can get that far, then if we can overcome the fear of the ball, once we get one moving to the catchers, well, we're in pretty good shape. I want to talk just briefly about how we handle the breaking ball. JD, as you may be able to see, does a good job moving right and left and blocking pitches in front of him, and how he doesn't try to catch the ball, he tries to block it. But the breaking ball is just a little bit different. JD, why don't you go ahead and get set up for us? Many people are under the mistaken impression that when a pitcher throws a breaking ball, one of two things happens. On the breaking ball that hits the dirt, if it's a right-hander throwing it and it breaks and hits the ground, some people are under the impression that the ball just keeps running outward this way. Or the second impression that they're under is when the ball hits, it tails back this way. Actually, with the breaking ball, when it hits the ground, it pretty much goes straight back. So what JD or any other catcher for that matter has to do with the breaking pitch is determine where that ball is going to hit the ground and try to get right behind it. So if the breaking ball were to hit here, he's going to want to put his body right behind it, because at that point it's going to shoot almost straight backwards, and then he's in position to be able to block it. So he's got to have a little bit of imagination on the breaking ball, get behind where that ball's at, and again run through your same good solid technique in terms of blocking a pitch. See how he smothers it? Blocks it straight down. Very nice. To the right. Nice block. Again. Notice how he's not trying to catch the ball, he's trying to block the ball. Nice block. Good block. Good, very nice. Those are two options regarding technique that you'll want to run your catchers through on blocking. And again, if you don't do this on a daily basis, they're not going to get very good at it. And if they don't get very good at it, confidence level shot, which means your pitcher doesn't have any confidence throwing one of these balls in the dirt to the catcher. So let's make sure we get some time and spend some time making your catchers really good at blocking pitches. Everybody loves to have a catcher with a terribly strong arm. Unfortunately, we're not all able to have that year in and year out. So what we have to do is we have to make sure we take advantage of what his abilities are by cutting down the footwork, or at least maximizing his abilities and efforts to throw by making sure he doesn't take any extra steps. We have two different options on the way that you can throw to second base in a steal situation. And I don't care which one you select, I would suggest for your younger players that you take option number one. Option two may be a little more well suited to the older, more advanced player, because it's a little more difficult to do as you try to work through throwing to second or throwing to third. Option number one, we call it 3-2-2. We have three steps to the left of the plate for him, two steps down the middle of the plate, two steps to the right of the plate. In technique number one, on a ball on the inside part to a right-hand hitter or to JD's left, he's going to take three steps. There's one, two, three. Okay. We want to make sure on this option that we don't slide the right foot behind the left on step number two. Step one, that's the incorrect way to do it. That's going to throw all of his momentum that direction. Let's watch the right way to do it. Step, inside, square up and throw. For an 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old player, or even into the early ages of high school, or a kid that doesn't have quite as much arm strength and needs that little extra momentum by taking those steps, this is a good option for him. Okay, the ball down the middle is a 2. Go. 1, 2. Again. Down the middle. Go. 1, 2. And the ball to the right of JD or outside to a right-hand hitter is also a 2-step. Go. 1, 2. Again, go, 1-2. So it's 3-2-2. A little less advanced technique. Let's take a look now as I throw to him and he can put it into full speed for us. There's your 3-step. Again. 3-step. Slides out with the left foot, follows with the right, takes another step left. Left, right, left. Okay, 2-step down the middle. 1-2. One, two. Okay, same thing applies on the ball to the right, to JD's right, or outside to a right-hand hitter. It's a 2-step. We always want to make sure that we clear the plate, we don't come in contact. Option number two in our throwing package is geared for a more advanced player. Requires less time to get rid of the ball, but it's a more difficult technique. So you may want to think about what type of an athlete you have or what age group you're working with prior to teaching option number one or option number two. Okay, JD, let's take a look. You'll notice I've laid a bat down in the middle of the plate, and this would certainly apply to either technique. This bat being in the middle of the plate, we want to make sure that our catcher, with his initial step, goes one direction or the other with this bat so that we don't end up stepping on top of the plate. So in option one, where we went 3-2-2, our first step is going to take us to one side of the bat or the other. And that way we got a little extra room where that plate is cut out and we got a little angle there in which to step. We don't want to step directly on the plate. So I've done that just as a reminder to JD not to step directly behind the plate and then end up stepping on the plate with his left foot. Okay, you might recall in option number one that on a ball to the left, we took 3 steps. On the ball down the middle, we took 2 steps. And on the ball to the right, we took 2 steps. This is a little bit different. In this particular option, we're only going to take 2 steps on any given pitch that we've received. So a ball to the left, we're going to take 2 steps. A ball down the middle, 2 steps. And a ball to the right, 2 steps. And we're going to phrase this or refer to this as a jump turn a little bit. It's a slide step with the feet. It's a very quick and rapid movement. And I'm going to have JD run through each of the three so we can get a good look at them. Okay, JD, we're going to go to your left to begin with. Ready? Go. You'll notice that when the glove went out, Slide your glove out. The glove went out for the outside pitch. He's going to drag it back across his chest, and he's going to square up with a jump turn. Okay? Let's go again. Ready? Go. There we go. Two steps. Now we got a ball down the middle. His first step needs to take him away from that bat, either side of the bat. Ready? Down the middle. Okay. Notice the quickness of the feet. This is very similar on the ball down the middle and the ball to the right of the catcher. It's very similar to option number one. Maybe a little quicker movement with the feet, but very closely aligned with what we had there. The big difference is coming in on the first pitch we talked about. Okay, ball to the right. Ready? Go. Jump turn. Notice how he got on the other side of the bat to keep himself away from the plate. Ready? Go. Okay, and we always want to make sure as we square up, we have our shoulder, hip, and knee pointed right at our target, be it second base or third base or wherever it happens to be that we're throwing. So the big difference is going to be on this side of the plate. We're going to drag the glove across the chest and be able to get rid of that ball in a hurry. Catchers love a variety of things to do behind the plate, and hopefully they don't all involve blocking pitches and taking a beating. The wrist flicks drill that we're going to demonstrate right now is a good drill that can be done every day and has some real benefit when a catcher's throwing, and that is a good portion of what a catcher does, either back of the pitcher or to second or third or wherever the throw needs to be made. What we want to be able to do here and what we want the catchers to really work hard on is to be able to use the wrist to allow just a little extra snap on the end of the throw and get just that extra mile or two per hour that's necessary and the difference between throwing someone out and not throwing someone out. When we set this drill up, what we want Daniel to do is to take his glove, bring his glove up, put the elbow in the glove, get a nice four-seam grip on the ball, and then relax, flex the wrist, and release the ball to JD with good rotation. Flip. Nice flip. JD will do the same. Elbow in the glove and a nice flip. Head high. Good wrist flip. One knee throwing is a great way to isolate out an individual's throwing technique. We cut ourselves off basically at the waist and we get to work on our throwing technique from the waist up. With JD, on the one knee throw, the key points that we want him to keep in mind when he does this is when he goes to a throwing position, he's going to square his body, his shoulder and his hip and his front knee are all going to point at his target. And when he releases, he's going to have the elbows up. When he releases, he'll pull the glove in hard to the chest and get his good arm angle in here and a follow through. So we want to make sure that from the waist up, he's doing everything he needs to do so that when we put him back behind the plate in game situation or full speed practice situation, he's ready to go. With regard to technique and a very important point that I'll work through with Daniel, we want to make sure that when the catcher splits his hands, he uses an elbow up technique. Okay, Dan, go ahead and split your hands. Notice how he's got his elbows up on both sides here. This elbow pointed toward his target, the other elbow up. This is going to allow him to get a real nice arm whip as he moves through to the throw. Obviously, a catcher doesn't have the opportunity to let his arm drop down and come back up. He doesn't have time. So what we teach is an elbow up just like this, and you'll get that real nice arm whipping on into a throw. Okay, Dan, go ahead and throw to your target. Okay, we want to make sure that they get a nice follow through. Notice how JD closes up, hits his target, elbows up, four seam grip, nice follow through, good throw. Four seam grip. This is the catcher's opportunity to really work at getting that four seam grip. He's got time to think about it. He's going to pull the glove hard back into his body. 90 degree angle with the arm, elbow up, boom. Catcher has to have soft hands to be effective behind the plate. He has to have hands like flypaper. The ball hits the glove and it stays. And you can work to develop that a little bit. One of the ways that helps catchers develop is to take the glove off and to run through a drill where we just catch the ball with a bare hand and making sure that we hold it and we block it. JD, if you would, let's set ourselves up. Let's drop the glove behind us. Okay. We're going to talk just a little bit about how we want to have soft hands and how we're going to block pitches in order to be able to keep them where we need them in the strike zone. Okay, let's take a pitch, an outside pitch to a right-hand hitter that we're going to frame the outside of the ball right here. I want JD's arm to be extended away from his body this way so that when the ball makes contact, he's going to block it right here. He's going to block that pitch. He's not going to take the pitch and run it back into the middle of his body, and he's not going to let his hand carry back here. He's going to carry it right out of the strike zone. So the instant that ball touches his hand, he's going to block it. He's not going to let the ball go any further. Same thing would apply on an inside pitch to a right-hand hitter. Block the ball and catch it. And again, he's going to catch the outside of the pitch. Same thing applies to a high pitch. Same thing to a low pitch. So we're going to make sure that we don't take a strike away from our pitcher. This is a particularly critical point when considering throwing breaking balls. If you've got older kids or if you happen to be an older player and we're catching a breaking ball from a pitcher, catchers have a tendency to ride that breaking ball right out of the strike zone. They'll catch it back in here and let it ride out. Catch that breaking ball in front of you and block it. Block the ball right there and don't let it leave the strike zone. Don't carry that ball out. Catch the ball right here and keep it right there. Okay, JD, let's run through a couple soft hands. Block the pitch. Good. See how he doesn't let the hand slide back into the strike zone. He keeps it right where he touched the ball. Boom. Doesn't let it move forward. Keep that ball in the strike zone. Keep that ball in the strike zone. Low pitch is the same way. Good. See if I can get her down a little lower. There we go. Nice block. You can speed him up a little bit. Make him work. Throw him a little harder. Good. If he can catch this way, he can certainly catch with that glove on. Framing pitch is certainly something we all have to be good at and we have to do and we have to do on a regular basis. And one way we can get that done is to start with the bare hand. Other positions do that, outfielders do that, infielders can do that to help themselves get the nice soft hands and be nice and supple, and when that ball hits, it sticks. We're going to start out just working JD to first base so we know what technique we need to use footwork-wise to be able to make the play. Okay, JD, slide behind. You can do this with one catcher. You can rotate in three catchers if you have them, four, however many you have, and we can do it just as fast as they can go out and get a ball and we can get another one put down. Okay, we'll get JD in his stance. I'm going to call either first, middle, or third, and that'll give him an indication of which ball we want him to go get. The ball down the first baseline, which is the one we're going to do to begin with, just a couple keys on that. First of all, whenever we field the bunt, be it any of the three, actually, we're going to scoop the ball with two hands. Number two, since that ball is riding so close to the line, we want him, once he fields the ball, to take a drop step back, clear himself away from the runner before he makes the throw. We don't want to have him thrown over the runner. Okay? Ready, JD?
Yep.
One.
Mine.
Scoops, clears the runner, makes the throw. Okay, notice when he comes out, he's going to call the ball. We ask our catchers, if they know that they can get to the ball, call it immediately, and that frees the pitcher up from having to drive himself in here as fast as he can to get the ball that he's not even going to have to receive. So if the catcher knows he can get it, call for it immediately. And again, we call balls in here with catchers exactly like we would any other position on the field. Mine, three times. Okay, here we go. Okay, we're going for the middle ball this time. Notice how he'll come to the left of the ball, round himself off, and get ready to throw to first. Ready? Middle.
Mine.
Scoops. Sets himself, gets himself ready to throw. It's imperative the catcher bounces quickly out of his position to be able to field the ball. Now, the ball down the third baseline, we're going to step over, and you'll notice when JD does it, he'll step across the ball, and when he sets up, his left shoulder will be pointed at first base. We don't like to slide behind the ball such that we're nearest the third baseline simply because we find that catchers end up dropping their arm angle, and we end up with the ball down the right field line. Here we go. Ready? Three.
Mine.
Notice how the minute he stood up, he had the left shoulder pointed at first base. Okay, let's run through them again. Again, bunting technique, not a real difficult thing to teach. What is difficult is making sure that you stay on top of it. And if he makes a mistake during a game, when he comes into the dugout, let's make sure that we get it corrected. Write it down, remember it, whatever you have to do, but let's make sure we get it corrected so that when he goes after the ball, number one, he takes charge of the situation, calls loudly, makes the appropriate steps, and makes a good, strong throw to first base.